Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good evening to everyone, and God bless you. It's truly a blessing to be here with you on this day, October the 13th, 2020, bringing you greetings from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in the aftermath of Hurricane Delta. All is well. No injuries, not in Baton Rouge. Power was out, but we made it. We thank God for both good and bad. I would like to just start off by speaking to you for a moment concerning the major things that's going on right now, and that's the election. That's also the pandemic. At this particular time, we're faced with a pandemic in which our president and other officials in Washington acted too slow in putting together something to prepare America for COVID-19. Now about 216,000 individuals have lost their lives senselessly because our president didn't take the initiative nor admitted that it was a problem to the people. Now, he knew, in which he it didn't tell the truth. He said he didn't know what it was, that it was China hid things. But come to find out, he had a discussion and he had it in the paper. Hello? Hello?
Pastor, you there?
Yes.
Okay, we lost you for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're dealing with repercussion from a president who did not act in time to help mitigate this pandemic, and who now have called... In the past, he's called it a hoax. He said it wasn't bad, no more than the flu. But now he's been tested positive with the virus. He refuses to do as others, stay quarantined for 14 days. Don't want to wear a mask. And one guy, he rightfully so, asked him, was he a super spreader? And evidently he is, because several, they're finding out several of his campaign places that he campaigned, a lot of individuals end up with COVID-19. But you can't fault these individuals with that, because they should have known and took Dr. Fauci at his word about COVID-19. Dr. Fauci is an epidemiologist, and we should take their word, and we should take the word of the CDC, not a president who's not a good business person, nor a person as well, intellectually or mentally. A person who paid for SAT to be taken, a person who threatened to sue any instructors or teachers from his high school or college if they show his transcript, a president that have went bankrupt at least seven times, business failure time after time. And right now is in over $400 million in debt and not knowing how he's going to pay it back. We have a president with the nastiest mouth. We have a president that's a xenophobic. And when I say he's a xenophobic, he hates other races of people. He hates other races. I say a misogynist. He hates females. He has something degrade females. This man is a bigot, a racist. And I often wonder why African Americans would ever vote for him. But then I realized slave master mentality is still in too many African Americans today. And I truly believe that we could agree to disagree, and everyone has their own mindset, and that I can't argue with them, but I know for sure that this guy is not worthy anytime he acknowledged white supremacists in the front of these very same individuals. He told them to hold fast and just hold back. He didn't tell them what they were doing was wrong. He told them just wait. In other words, wait till after the election don't come out. Then you move forward. It's a lot of things that making history right now. And believe it or not, history is anything that happened yesterday in the past is history. But I wanted to say that, and I had opportunity to talk to some individuals, and I told them about our history talk. And I had a long talk with one of my attorney friends today, and as we sat over lunch and we were talking, and it came to him. He asked some questions of me, and I discussed some things about life and about anthropology with him. And he was just so amazed at what was going on. I had an opportunity to be one of his instructors or professors in seminary. So he's forever calling me, asking me questions, and I always ask him questions pertaining to law. We've been a blessing to one another. Nevertheless, we were talking, and I made a statement to him about the low self-esteem of African American, and I told him why African Americans here in America such low self-esteem and why other people from other countries look down on African Americans when they come to America. And there's nothing wrong with African Americans. There's something wrong with America. And I know that some folk might be wondering what is Reverend Kemp or Dr. Kemp speaking about something is wrong with America? America is a country of white supremacy. That's what I want to say. And before I end my lecture tonight, I'm going to express how America is a country of white supremacy. But as I always do, I like to go back because I know sometimes new people tune in. And for the different individuals that I've been speaking with lately that told me that they would try to be in, and for them, I would just go back over something and touch things and move on to the areas that I would like to touch tonight. The first thing I would like to do if I have, and I would pray that some individuals would bring their kids, the young black kids and white kids, matter of fact, because I truly believe white kids will have an open mind and will do the research themselves to find out just how racist their forefathers and so many are today dealing with the school system of America. We quick to go around and say human rights, but why? How can we tell another country about human rights and you killing blacks at a just astonishing rate? How can you kill it? How can you say human rights and African Americans have been freed from slavery for 155 years and yet have not received correct liberty? In other words, haven't really been free, haven't been treated equal throughout those things that it say that all men are created equal and that we're endowed by our own creator with certain inalienable rights. Among those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but yet it has not fallen to African Americans yet. Now, I'm going to go back, and it behooves me to talk about this because this is something my kids need to know, and white kids need to know it too. It's really not taught in high school, elementary or junior high school. It's really not taught. Or if it's taught, it's not broken down the way it's supposed to be because they're so busy trying to hide the reality of life. Life did originate from somewhere. Life did originate from a specific continent. Man did not wash up on the shore of a single cell amoeba. Man did not just come from the Big Bang Theory. Man did not just evolve from a monkey, an ape. I submit to you that today that if man came from a monkey or an ape, man would still be evolving to this very day. But man is not evolving this very day from an ape. You would walk by a cage one day and one of the a chimpanzees or gorilla might ask you to let them out. I'm human now from being in contact with all these humans. So it's something that we need to do Darwin's theory, and it's just what it say, a theory, an unproven fact, theory of evolution. But I tell you what you can unprove is that God says, let us make man, that God made man. And that man came to existence by God, you know. Amen. Now, what I want to do is I want to start off with, and I'm going to go by science. I'm going to use anthropology. I'm going to use genetics, and I'm going to use archaeology and paleontology as we go along. And it's a wonderful study, and it's some things that, as African Americans, it's time for us to pick up books and study things for ourselves and not wait for the same people that imprison you to teach you the truth. You may think about it as I speak to you pertaining to it. And just think about it. The very same people that imprison you made and believe in white supremacy, the same people that made the curriculum for you to take in school. And you have to understand, too, that what you learn in school is not history, is history, is his story, the story of whites, a made-up story, and at the boot of it, it is a made-up hoax. It is a straight-out lie. And may I reiterate, that history that we take in public schools in America, my mother used to say, is a lie. And it's not the truth. Now, I want us to look back and I want us to go back to, and I want us just to think about this. Many years ago, in 1974, they were in Ethiopia, and Donald Johanson and Tom Gray was doing a dig, hunting for rocks and things, but they stumbled upon a kind of a partial body of a female, and they named this female Lucy, and it's come under the title Australopithecus. And Australopithecus africanus, this fossil was a skeleton that was found in Ethiopia. And what it is that this fossil would equate to someone dating back to 3.18 million years. And they gave her the name Lucy because in 1974, the Beatles had a record out called Lucy. But I want you to understand that this was found in Ethiopia. This is found in Africa. And I want you to understand that the oldest fossil wasn't found in Europe. When they go back to find out where man came from, they go to Africa. And there's a reason why they go to Africa to find out where did man begin. And we're going to get that in a little later on. I will explain to you by genetics how and why, and they consider this, the Africa is the cradle of civilization, even biblically. And I can explain that to you too. And I could show it to you biblically, and I could show it to you by your anthropologists, your archaeologists, your paleontologists, your geneticists. Now, also in Africa, there was Louis Leakey and Mary Douglas Leakey, a husband and wife team, paleontologists, who discovered the first fossil of precancer skull. And this was really no more than an extinct ape. This extinct ape was, some believe that the ape was the ancestor of human, but some of the humans wasn't walking up, at least not some of the humans, but they found out later on as they start dealing with Zenzanthropus, which is the skull that they found in the Old Deep Gorge around Tanzania. And when you're looking at Zenzanthropy, you're talking about East Africa. Now, Professor Leakey, and several archaeological finds that he found. He found fossils of an ancestor and of apes, but he also found, as he was excavating, human remains. Excavating in what they call the Old Deep Gorge in Africa in 1960. Now, he found different artifacts where that people were saying about being primitive. These people were finding fossils that date back hundreds of thousands of years, where man in Africa was able to make tools. So Africa was never a place of dumb folk. While whites had not, I must say it this way. There's a teaching out of Africa, say, in about 70 to 80,000 years ago, when man left Africa, for everyone lived in Africa, and they left from Africa, and it's called Out of Africa. And we're going to talk about that. But now I've showed you through Zenzanthropy and Australopithecus about finding these skeletal remains in Africa. Now this is gonna really bust a lot of white folk bubble, and it's not gonna bust their bubble, because if they study geneticists or if they study anthropology, they know, but they refuse to teach this because their children have found out that their ancestors are African. Everyone's ancestors are African. I don't care. This is a fact. No matter if you came from China, Russia, Scandinavia, no matter what continent you came from, you are an African. Your beginning was Africa. Oh, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Well, okay. If we trace back our DNA in our maternal inheritance, mitochondrial DNA within our cell, all humans have theoretically now a common ancestor. Now, what was this common ancestor? It wasn't a monkey. It was this woman whose name is, they call this name, is known as Mitochondria Eve, that lived about 200,000 years ago. They found the skeletal remains of this black lady, African woman, in South Africa. She was not the first human, but every other female lineage eventually evidently had no female offspring and failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. As a result, all humans today, now listen at this, this is not taught, all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to this lady, Mitochondria Eve. Within her DNA now, and that of her peers, exists all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans since Eve time. Everyone since 2,000 years ago carried this African lady DNA. See, different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups that we see today, but they all carry her DNA. That mitochondrial DNA that's from this lady, they call her mitochondria. If you want to look up anything that I'm saying, if you want to look up Lucy, I submit to you, look up Lucy. And if you want to look up Lucy, like I told you, all you have to do is look up these. It will come under Donna Johansson and Tom Gray. As they were looking for rocks in Ethiopia, and they dug. And if you want to go even further, go under and look for Louis Leakey and Mary Douglas Leakey. And they were doing things. They were excavating and doing things in Africa, and they found out that life really originated in Africa. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, oftentimes we don't we try to figure out, well, why we look different. And we're going to get to that. I'm on my way to explaining those aspects of it, because we're not taught these things. And it's time that we really come honest. It's time that America, Europe, and it's really the Europeans, America and the Europeans really come clean. It's time that they be transparent to who are the true Hebrew Israelites. It's time for them to be transparent. Why did the world begin? And who are the original people on this earth? And I'm going to prove it to you by their own science, by their own anthropology, by their own geneticists. I'm going to prove this to you by their own finding and their own science. They look up in their own science and find out that we are blacks are African, the original people. Now, they dug up another skeletal remains of a man. It was a man who died about 315 years before his advent. And the skeletal remains were found in southern Africa. And now, what's ironic about this find, this is the closest relative yet to the humanity common to the female ancestry, Macronge. Now, this man is the closest relative. He is almost matched her to a T, Macronge. They noted that by different things about him, that he was a fisherman that lived along the coast of southern Africa, and that he's the closest genetic match to Eve. And they found this at a place called St. Helens Bay in South Africa. And the person that found it was an archaeologist by the name of Andrew Smith at the University of Cape Town. Now, these are things, and the reason I'm giving you these names, because if anyone want to refute what I'm saying, well, it'd be very easy for me to just tell them, go look it up, or you could Google it and find out all this information. And this is not something that African-American or African people are just trying to project to the world. These are discoveries and things that whites have found, but they keep it to themselves. I want you to understand, I've told you that life started in Africa. Now, I'm going to tell a little Bible scripture to you. Now, the Bible talks about God created Adam and Eve, and they were in the Garden of Eden. And they describe how beautiful the Garden of Eden was. And they described that there were four rivers in the Garden of Eden. And what they said about those four rivers, that one was called the Galilee, and the other was called the Pishon River. Now, most of your great scholars will tell you that the Galilee and the Pishon is the Nile River, because it encompassed the land of Babylon. Kush, and that's Ethiopia, where Beldonium and all these onyx and stuff is in gold. But now I also see the land of Somaliland, which is Somalia. So you know that's the African continent. I don't know whether the land was joined during the time of the Ice Age or before the Great Flood, what the Bible speaks of during the time of Noah. Now I want you to understand that some people have tried to say that the Bible says that the world is 6,000 years old. That is so far from the truth. When you read your Bible, the Bible declares in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. It did not give a date or time. Man put a timeline. One day is like a thousand years is like a day to the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So we need to put all these things into perspective. Life originated in Africa. A lot of times they call Africa the black continent, and they make everything black to be like it's something wrong with everything being black. There's something wrong. But I beg to differ with that, because I'm going to explain something to you right now. I need to explain this to you so you'll feel good about those of a dark color. Since we've been in America, we have taken the European standard of beauty, blonde hair, blue eyes. If you have to look like a white person, if you have a wide nose, that's ugly, because African Americans have it. If your hair is not straight like a horse's mane, then your hair is not good. But now, the early Israelites' hair was like lamb's wool, would curl up, and that's a black person. Now, I did do some research when I was getting my master's, and I was looking about who are the Chaldees, the Mesopotamia, and I was looking up the inhabitants of that area about 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. And what I found out was very astonishing. What I found out was that they say some people was there were called the Sumerians. But I wanted to know, how did the Sumerians look? But don't you know that that it said that the Sumerian was chocolate? I've never seen a white person chocolate and had astute noses. And astute nose means thick. So I want you to understand that they were, and this is where Abraham came from, or the Chaldees of Mesopotamia. This is who he is. This is who the original Hebrew was. But the Bible also tells you that area was called the land of Nimrod, and his grandfather was Ham, and Ham supposed to be the progenitor of the dark race. Now, this is not Dr. Kim speaking. This is coming straight from white folk. This is coming straight from those who wrote about it. They know the truth, but they're not teaching the truth. That's what I hold fast to. But it still doesn't mean that we, and I charge African Americans, and I charge people of African descent with not doing the research or studying to try to educate themselves. Yes, you might have kidnapped my forefathers. You might have did them certain things, but that does not stop me from trying to find out as much as I can who I am, where I came from, and which way I'm going. Now, I want us to understand now the Bible tells us what color the people were. But now I want us to look at something. Now, I was telling you about that. Now, I'm just going to enlighten you upon something. We're going to go off into a little something. We've been into a little anthropology and archaeology, and maybe going looking for those fossils and different bones or paleontology. But anyway, with that, that was Ron Johansson. They would have been doing a little more or less like paleontology. But anyway, now, the top botanist and geneticist, one is Gregoire Mendel. Now, Mendel, through his research and study, Mendel found out that black or brown skin come from dominant genes. Light skin or white skin, what they call Caucasian, come from a recessive gene. Now, this is going to tell you how white people became white, and how that they did come from Africa. I'm about to explain something to you, that whites did come from off of black people. They were black, but they turned white. Now, I'm about to explain it to you. Listen at me carefully. The botanist, Gregoire Mendel, says black or brown skin is dominant gene. Light skin or white skin, so-called white, is a recessive gene. Well, what are you talking about? Brown eyes is dominant. Blue eyes is recessive. And recessive means it's not pure. That's why you see so very few. Well, listen to what I'm about to explain something to you. In the world today, there's 7.5 billion people. Out of that 7.5 billion, only 11.5% are Caucasian or European or white. Only 850 million, are white. The planet is made up of people of color. Listen at what I'm about to tell you. If brown skin, black skin is dominant genes, then light skin or white is recessive gene, mean lower. Brown eyes is dominant. You see more people with brown eyes than you see in blue. There's a recessive gene. Now, you have to understand, now, I'm going to break something down to you, and I pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. You could take two of the darkest people, and the darkest people on the planet come from around the Sudan. Not the whole Sudan, but certain areas of the Sudan have the darkest people on earth. And that's where some of the places where life started. Our ancestors came from, all ancestors, black and white. And they were, well, how could somebody, black is tar, and black is midnight. How can that person, excuse me one second. How can that person, a white person, how can someone white come from somebody black as the night? Well, I'm about to explain that to you. And African Americans and Caucasians know what I'm about, understand what I'm saying. You could take two of the darkest people on the planet together and have an albino child. Meaning that child could come out looking white. See, you could get, and I already told you that black is come from dominant genes and white come from recessive genes. Well, two dominants, you could take two dominant genes, two blacks, and get a recessive gene. But you can't take two recessive genes and get a dominant. And what I'm saying, you could take two black individuals and mate them together and get a white person come from it. But you can't do the same thing with two whites and get a black. Because two recessive genes cannot make a dominant gene. And what I'm trying to say, see, that in dealing with out of Africa about 70,000 years to 80,000 years ago, when Africans out of Africa, when they went to Europe, they went through a mutation. Their skin color changed. And this is why they have recessive genes. Their skin color changed. It's called a mutation. And whenever you get an opportunity to look up the definition of the term a mutation, and when they went through the mutation, it happened because of this. The way they was living, it wasn't hot anymore. Their diet changed, and different things changed and brought on the mutation. And that's how the color changed. And you could do all, look all this up, and it's not Dr. Kemp that's making this up. These are your top geneticists that's bringing that up. I submit to you guys tonight, if you go to an aquarium and you see a white alligator, that white alligator is an albino. You have fewer white alligators than you have the gray or the black like ones. Now, that's because they have they're mutant. They're not the albino. They're liking some of the genes are liking. If you find an albino tiger, anything white is called albino, but when you get the white human being, they're not albino. They don't never want to admit that they are no more than albinos. And it's true. This is your own scientist saying these things. It's nothing that's made up. No matter where you go or what you do, if you have nothing but black apes and one come out white, that's an albino ape, an albino monkey, albino tiger, called albino or something. So in Jamaica, they said albino, but it's albino. We have to look into things and let things be that we've been taught wrong. We haven't been taught the truth. We haven't been had people to really explain to us about genetics, and they won't teach their children that they came from you, because then that means they can't be, say that they're superior to you anymore, because they'll find out that they're the one with the recessive genes and you're the one with the dominant genes. Now, Mendel, Gregoire Mendel had these laws, and why whites end up being the way the people in Europe end up being a different color from the Africans. You got over a billion people in Africa. You have over a billion Africans, and you don't, and all over the world, you don't even, you only have about 850 million whites all over the world, but just on the continent of Africa alone, you have, just on the continent of Africa alone, you have over 1.7 billion people. But now, if you go in the Caribbean, right now in the Caribbean, you're going to find out, you're going to find 48 million Africans. If you come to America, you're going to find close to 48 to 50 million African-Americans in here. Then if you go to Canada, it's at least 1 million Africans in Canada. That's 1.5 million Africans in Mexico. That's 15 million in Brazil, 400,000 in Australia, 159,000 in Argentina, 8 million in Europe. So you do the math. You do the math. There's so many more Africans than there are Caucasians. And then that's not counting the rest of the other about 3 billion people, 3.7 billion people that's left on the earth that are people of color. India is next, and they have some of the people in India have so much melanin, they look like they, if their hair was a little different, and we do have blacks with the same hair as Indian. All you have to do is go to Australia and look at the Aboriginal. They are dark skinned, but their hair is straight. All Africans do not have curly hair. Africans are not dark skinned, and they're purebred Africans. So let us not think that that means that all Africans look just alike. I proved to you what happened and why white is called a mutation. When they moved there. Now, they don't like to be called that, but I got the Mendel's law. It's called the law of inheritance. Once whites had moved to Europe and lived in Europe for thousands of years and began to bear their kids and went through being fruitful and multiplying, they went to the law of inheritance. They inherited the genes of the other albinos, and they started producing albinos. And then they went to the law of dominance of segregation. And when you put just a certain look, a group of people in a certain area, that's what you get. If you had never brought people out of Africa, you would have brown and just brown and black people. Like in Europe. When they went in Europe, you had a lot of what you would call like just albinos, and they were producing albinos. And that's the second law, is the law of dominance of segregation. The majority of the people, if the majority of the people that live in a specific area and they're segregated, they dominate that area the way they look. And the third law, Mendel's law, is the law of independent assortment. And that is, it's assorted by independently assorted. You know, you bring things out, you have this color over here, you have that color over there. And it's independent assortment about where you're from and the different traits that you take out. This is Gregoire Mendel, but remember that dark skin is dominant. Light skin is recessive. Blue eyes is recessive. Brown eyes come from dominant genes. Now, these are things that we really need to keep into consideration, because we've been taught like we are a lower form of a human being, and it's not so. We are not the mutation. Caucasian are the mutation. We're not the mutation. We didn't meet. We're not a lower form. We didn't spawn off something else. They spun off of you. You did not spin off of them. Now, since I've discussed that with you and things, it's time that we realize who we are and whose we are. Now, I'm just going to bring up a few points on the biblical side to let you know that we played a very, very important role in the Bible. I told you earlier about who are the Chaldees and about Ham and about what color the true Hebrew Israelites were. And I made some statements pertaining to that and told you about the Sumerian people was from that area. But now also, you have to understand that blacks have been all over the world. You were taught that black folk, African people, were dummy and they didn't, they were not fishermen, but I just showed you that the person that was born 315 years before Christ was an African who's has the closest mitochondrial DNA match to mitochondrial Eve, which was about 200,000 years before him. Well, when you look at that, he was a fisherman. Blacks always have been a fisherman. You go in the islands, you go to Africa. They've always been boat people. How you think we population and our population got to other islands? But even more about that, the Egyptians were Africans. You can't take Egypt off the continent of Africa, and they had many, many very dark-skinned Egyptians. That's a bunch of baloney that was taught by Caucasians about the Egyptians were white. And this is what thing, it's time we stop whitewashing everything and try to make like anything that was good came from Europe. Everything that was good, it leaves all other countries out other than the European America. That's the biggest lie Christ ever died for. I'm going to say it like old folks would say. That is the biggest lie Christ ever died for. They lied about history. They had nothing to do with the pyramids. Africans built the pyramids. And I want you to look this up. Just Google how many pyramids are there in the Sudan. They have more pyramids in the Sudan than they have in Africa. Okay, Egypt. But both of them are countries in Africa. Both of them sort of butt together, Ethiopia, the Sudan, and Egypt. You know, you have the lower and the upper Egypt. But it's good to do your study, you know. It's very, very good to do your study and learn exactly your inheritance. There are many books that's out now that you could buy. Randolph Winslow, From Babylon to Timbuktu, Hebrewish of West Africa. It's just so many books that you can buy. And it's time that you find out, too, about the Catholic Church and find out that the Catholic Church, Pope Nicholas, I think it was the 6th, he signed a referendum for slavery. This is the so-called church that said a group of people were like animals. Look it up. Now, everything I said, and I'm transparent. I want to say it. It was Pope Nicholas. So don't play us cheap that we don't understand. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to understand too. When we use that term white people, that term didn't come into being until about 1680 or 1681, some say 1679. but it only came that the term in America, in the States. It never was called that in Europe. Either you're the person from Europe, you're a European. Now Africa, no one know the real name of Africa because we only get it from what Europeans call it, or the Latin or the Greeks call it. That's where we get the name from. We know that through biblical time, that the real name for Egypt was Mesopotamia. We know that the real name for Ethiopia was Cush. The word Cush means burn face. Now, they call the people of Egypt, and whites have tried to make it about it's the black soil. But if you ever look at the soil is not black in different deltas than other places. But they say it was called, the name Kim means black. That what they call the people, the Kemet, mean black. And that's what Egypt was called. But sometimes when people don't want you to know who you are, and because you have 40, while whites were just coming out of cave, you have people that built 40 story buildings without cranes, heavy equipment, and were able to cut massive stone and square and very, very square. All of this came, and that's why America was founded on white supremacy, because, and I'm going to explain that to you, but whenever you get a chance to look up Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary, definition of Ham, and this is what it's going to say. The youngest son of Noah, born probably about 96 years before the flood, and one of eight persons to live through the flood. He became the progenitor of the dark race, not of the Negro. Well, you just named the African race, but you say not the Negro. And the only other person left is Shemite. And I've already told you that the Shemites were black folk, because they came from the land of Nimrod. They came from Ur, the Chaldees, or the Mesopotamia, which was of the Sumerians, and later on the Assyrians, who also had the little beaded hair like the way that they had to have the kids taking roughly hair and little knots to make the little nappy beard. They had before they ever had in Rome and Greece, had chariots. They had them. Assyria had them. Egypt had them. That been things. Even Solomon had it overall right at 1,000 years before Christ, about 3,000 years ago. Solomon had chariots and all kind of horses. So these things that African Americans or Africans, where Africans didn't have different technology, they were doing metallurgy and making things out of metal long before they were doing it in Egypt. That's why when blacks came here to America as slaves, they end up doing, even in New Orleans, if you ever go to New Orleans, look at that ironwork, that wrought ironwork, those different designs on the houses and stuff with the ironwork. And they actually, slaves did that. Now, they did it for their master. They came here understanding the technique of ironwork and of metallurgy and of welding and of black, being a blacksmith. They came with the knowledge of it from their country. Let me explain something to you. And the next time you find anyone call ancestors dumb, tell them they were smarter than the people that had them in bondage, because they were able to learn a whole nother language, another culture, and strive at it and build America. So you don't get a dummy to do things like that. You don't get somebody, a monkey can't do that. Yes, it's time that we start teaching our children and letting them know who we are, and that we are not to be taken lightly. Now, when I get ready to think about things, I think about America. I think about Christopher Columbus discovering America. And I'm just going to jump up a little bit. I'm going to move up a little bit. This is not going to be in the 1492s and 1600s when whites came to the Americas. I'm going to go back 12,000 years before Christ when blacks were traveling the sea and came to the Americas. And I guess you'll say, well, what drugs is Dr. Kemp on? He's talking about black being in the Americas. Well, I'm glad some folk might think I'm crazy. But for those who understand, those do archaeological digs, they found what they call OMEC, O-L-M-E-C, OMEC. They found these OMEC colossal heads. They're made of stone. And some of them were up to almost 14, from 9 to 14 feet in height, made of stone. And some was 900 years B.C., and it showed that the Olmec is a civilization of Mesoamericans. Some are in Mexico. They found these colossal heads. Big old broad noses, big lips. You know who the people are. You could find them even right now. You could just key it in your computer or your phone, Olmec people, or Olmec. And you'll find out that they'll show you some in the area where they found the colossal head. And they say La Venta, San Lorenz, Tres, Tabasco, Zapatez, Veracruz. Some of them dating back to 1200 BCE and 400 years BCE. And that right now, they have unearthed 17 heads have been found and uncovered to this very date in different places in the Americas. And then 10 of them are in San Lorenz, 4 in Veracruz. Now, I want them to have some in the Andes Mountains and South America. But I want you to understand, these things are not taught in school. And one might want to know why these things are not taught in school. Why? Because you've been wanting to Ponce de Leon, LaSalle, and Columbus, and the Pilgrims, and Leif Erikson, and Amerigo Van Fusup, and other ones that came to America in the 1514 through the 1500s, and they came here. They sell, but there had been people here long before them. If you go even on islands in the Pacific Ocean, you'll find out that there are people of color, black people there. You go to Aboriginal people or the indigenous people of Australia. Australia was a penal colony. It needs to be taught. It was a prison colony where Britain and others Sunday. They are the ones that were sentenced in prison to get rid of them from the country. They took them to the island and put them out there, and people start trying to help them, the Aboriginal people. They start trying to take care of them and help them, and they end up killing them off and taking the country, just like they done with the indigenous people of America, the Native America, the Indians. Well, we call them, I don't want to call them Indian because they're really Native Americans. Okay, they're Native Americans, not Indians. And I'm going to explain to you, and I'm not joking when I say this. I mean this wholeheartedly. It was a dummy with disease, a racist dummy with disease came to pass through and got money from the Queen of Spain and set sail to find a shortcut to India. He landed in Hispania around Hades and Dominica Republic and on the Haiti area. That's why Columbus came. Some say he also came to the Bahamas. I traveled there on a cruise and it had this show, say, Columbus House. But he didn't come to America. Then later on, the conquistadors came down in South America, gave to the people syphilis, and Columbus, he had it himself, and gave the people venereal diseases. So it's so much that we have to think about. He didn't come to America, but yet they give him credit for coming to America. He never discovered. The Olmec people had been there thousands of years before he ever shot foot on this side. They had been had people of color. And then you're going to call people, why I call him a dummy, was now you call people of America, the indigenous people or the Native American people, we call them Indians because a dummy got lost, named Columbus, got lost. He got lost, and so he was trying to go to India, so they gave the people the name Indian. And they don't want to be called that. Now, what would you call a race of people that will come to a country? Some say about 70 million Native Americans were killed. That's a terrorist. That's a genocide. But throughout the years, we have been seeing movies and stories and written out that, like, the Indians were savages. It was the other way. The white settlers were savages. They was the one came and took the people land. They were the one killing indigenous people. So let us not even try. Let us not even try to put ourselves and equate ourselves to them, because if you want to equate yourself. I see so many of us are trying to be like someone who were murderers, someone who didn't do the right thing. Why are we trying to be like a people that hate us so much? Why are we? I think about all these things, and I think about what all that have been done to our ancestors. That brought millions and millions of people who died on the Middle Passage. But I'm going to go even further since we're talking about just history and things now. I'm going to tell you now, there are people today, and I'm going to say, like, okay, the Europeans didn't write the Bible, but they translated the Bible. But what they did was just horrible. They made all the patriarchs, meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Noah, they made Adam and Eve, they made them white, although they know that the man existence came from Africa. Everybody in the Bible, they made them be white. Every person. They made everybody that meant anything, the prophet, Elijah, you name them, Jeremiah, Zechariah. When you see a picture, you see the Apostle Paul. You see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jude. You see all of these guys, and when you see them, you know, Luke, you see them, everybody's white, but whites really didn't live in that part of the world. Now, I want you to read upon something. Whites come from the lineage of Japheth. Japheth left out of the Bible around the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis. If you want to go by your Bible, he left out on the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, not to return until about 300 or 400 years before Christ. That's when Alexander the Great came over. And that's when he came back, what you call whites entered the Bible again. So you really didn't have much to play with the Old Testament. And when you came into the New Testament, you came in to conquer. You came in to conquer. You did not come in to do anything good into the country. You came into the Holy Land to conquer. Now, I want us to understand this. And so when you talk about whites, what I'm trying to say, a European, when I mean white folk, or what they call themselves white, but the European, when they left out of the Bible in the 11th chapter, not to come back, had nothing to do with the Bible, Shem and Ham children married. And isn't it ironic that before Moses went to Egypt, that Joseph was in Egypt, but Joseph's brother thought he was an Egyptian? Isn't it strange that when Moses was in Egypt, that he was able, with a black Pharaoh, he was able to pass for, after Pharaoh had mandated to kill all the Hebrew children, that Moses was able to pass for his grandson? I would only think that you can't bring a white kid in a black house and not know that the kid is white. And if that's not enough for you, if you read the Bible, where after Moses killed the Egyptian, he went to the land of Midian. The Midianites are Ethiopian. And he went to the land of Midian. There he met who was going to be his future wife, Zipporah. Well, Zipporah told her father, now listen to me, that she found an Egyptian. So Moses was able to pass for Egyptian. Joseph was able to pass for an Egyptian. Even with the birth of Christ to hide Jesus from the people, they took him to Egypt. They didn't take him to Europe to hide around white folk. They took him to Egypt to hide around somebody's color. Now, if you think that I'm just saying this about the New Testament, well, what I submit to you, read the book of Acts, the 21st chapter, and the 38th verse. When the Romans had arrested Paul, they told Paul they thought he was an Egyptian. We thought you was that Egyptian. He told them he was a Roman citizen. They say, we thought you was that Egyptian that led this rebellion and went out in the wilderness with 4,000 men after leading a rebellion, went out in the country with like a 4,000 man army. That's written in your Bible. It's all through your Bible. It's written that Moses married Zipporah. She was black. Amen? Now, then if you want to even go even further, now Abraham's second wife was Keturah, and she not black because Abraham then was black, but they were African because he married Keturah. So now let us not fake that. See, this is not taught you. They'll show you Abraham and all his children, and he had Hagar, and and by the way, the covenant with God made was never to Judah or Jews. It was made with Israel. It was made with Israel. It was made with the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Judah is your raw tribe, raw thing, but even David If you go in David lineage, David's great grandmother was the prostitute Rahab, which would have been a Canaanite, which would have been the daughter of Ham when she was black. And then if you go further back than her, Tamar, she also was black. And that was one of his great grandmothers. Boaz was black because Rahab was his mother. All you have to do is read your Bible. All of it's right there. But I told her that this real good friend of mine, she and I talked, and I told him a picture is worth a thousand words. I had an opportunity to talk to some people from Africa and from other countries, the Middle East, and even people people from China, like a Persian people from China, and asked them why did they build up what they built up. They said because the only thing that Americans show of blacks is people robbing and stealing and killing. Now, you have close to 50 million blacks in America. You don't have a good million of them in prison. But they only show the bad side. When they show blacks on TV, they show you the ghetto with shotgun houses, a rundown house, but they never show you these rundown trailer parks and regular houses that whites live in all kind of ways. It's called institutionalized systemic racism. You know, the media broadcasts like that you below other people, and it's not true. I would like to just submit this to you. How many times have you heard it advertised that been on throughout the media that young black females are matriculating rather graduating from college more than any other race? That's not publicized because that will uplift and build a self esteem of black. They think the only thing that we could do is good for entertaining. But if they ever known as how low that they stooped in the past, they have stooped so low in the past of hiding things from our children and their children too. That's why their children still think that their children think that they're above our children is because of what they've been taught. Now I have a letter that was written. If I can locate it, it was a letter that was written to Thomas Jefferson, because things like the machine that make your shoes, that put out shoes, and the filament from Louis Lattimore, who made the filament for the light, or, you know, things like that. Edison didn't do it. It was Lattimore. The gas mask was invented by a black man, Garrett Augustus. Steam clean, black. There's so many blacks that invented so many things. But we never got, you know, we never got credit for it. That the gas mask that so many firemen use and different things. All these things came from, where you think they came from? They were invented by blacks. African American invented these. These things were never told to you. You know, this was never told to us exactly what it meant. The adding machine that they used to calculate, that was an invention made by blacks. It's never taught because if they teach it, the children wouldn't be able to look down upon their African children anymore and think that they're better. They couldn't do it anymore. Because they'll know that they're no better than anyone else. you know, it's something that Benjamin Banneker, when he did the Armanet, you have to understand, when Benjamin Banneker did the Armanet, there was so much stuff that came in there, and he helped lay out. He was an architect, a mathematician, and all these things. And they people were tell folk, because they were hiding it, and like this still what gets me, we're still hiding to today. Instead of coming out teaching the truth, we refuse to do it. We are still allowing them to believe. Not we're not allowing them, but it's because they refuse to teach it in school the truth. And the church that I pastor, I bring it up in with the congregation. And I let them know, look, don't have low self-esteem, because all this stuff has been hidden from you for years. You know, x-ray machine, refrigerator, you know, these things were made by blacks, African Americans, but yet we don't get the credit. Where would we be with a house burning hot in the summertime, especially in the South? You know, we were the first person to do open heart surgery, blood plasma, saved so many lives. You know, it becomes a Granville T. Woods was the Black Edison. Okay, Granville T. Wood. You know, people don't know of, haven't heard of Alexander Graham Bell. Talk about the telephone, right? Find out, look up about Granville T. Wood, who really did the invention. Because of racism on his talent, black inventors, Wood circulated a story, Cosmopolitan magazine, that he was descended from a full-blood savage Australian Aboriginal. Apparently, Wood believed that his invention would not be recognized if it was known that he was an African American. He was light-skinned, and he wanted them to know after he did it, because he did it and he didn't tell them what color he was. Because he even sued and he won. But what I'm trying to say is, there's so many things about patents that we were not able to get credit for. The lube cup, what they call the realm, a term used by the realm of course, the lubricator. You know, you couldn't have trained, you know. We'll be unable to find work as an engineer, you know, in the United States if it wasn't for, you know, he couldn't find, you know, you couldn't make different material, different inventions, couldn't have worked without them knowing that he was the inventor of it, because he revolutionized the train. Because moving parts had to have hard lubricants, or else they would fuse or weld themselves together. This man was so great. Now I want you to understand this. Blacks had Benjamin Banneker. I want to read something to you. Talking about the racist Thomas Jefferson, who had the black slave woman with all the children for him. This is what Benjamin Banneker wrote Thomas Jefferson. And Jefferson debated the doctrine of racial inequality. Jefferson wanted to say blacks were dumb and whites were superior to them. But Benjamin Banneker called him out. And now this is an ex-free slave to call him out. He said, I suppose it is a truth to well contest to you to need a proof here that we are a race of beings who have long labored under the abuse and censor of the world, that we have long been looked upon with eyes of contempt, and that we have long been considered rather brutish than human, and scarcely capable of mental endowments. I apprehend you will embrace every opportunity to eradicate the train of absurd and false ideas and opinion which so generally prevail with respect to us, talking about as a black people, and that your sentiments are concurrent with mine, which are that one universal Father has given being to all of us, meaning one God made all of us, we're all the same, and endowed us all with the same faculties, meaning the same understanding and ability, and that however varied we may be in social or religious, however diversified in situation or color, we are all of the same family and stand in the same relationship to him. But, sir, how pitiable it is to reflect that although you were so fully convinced of the benevolence of the Father of mankind and of his equal and impartial distribution of these rights and privileges which he has conferred upon them, that you should at the same time counteract his mercy in detaining by fraud and violence so numerous a part of my brethren under groaning, captivity, and cruel oppression, that you should at the same time be found guilty of the most criminal act which you professedly detest in others with respect to yourself. This is what he wrote to Thomas Jefferson. And then Jefferson wrote back, I thank you most sincerely for your letter in the 19th stanza and for the almanac it contains. Nobody wishes more than I do to see such proof as you exhibit that nature has given to your black brethren talent equal to those of other of men, and that the appearance of one of them is owing merely to degrading conditions of their existence both in Africa and America. I can add with truth that nobody wishes more ardently to see a good system coming from raising the condition both of their body and mind to what it ought to be as far as the impeccability of their present existence and other circumstances which cannot be neglected will be admitted. I have taken the liberty of sending your almanac to Monsieur D. Condorcet, Secretary of Academic of Science at Paris, a member of the Philanthropic Society, because I consider it as a document to which your whole color have a right for their justification against the doubt which have been entertained of them. In other words, this man is more intellectual than Jefferson, but they think so highly of this slave owner, Jefferson, who carried his slave who would have went to, Sally, I'm going to think of her name, but anyway, when she was having children for him, Sally Hemings, she was started off about 14. But she was considered no more than an animal, like having sex with an animal. But if you do that today, you'll be in prison. But these are the things that they've done. This is the thing that was did to us. And is it relevant? What should we say? Is it, yes, it's relevant. It's time for us to take it up and think about it. It's time for us to raise our standard. I'm going to, for a few minutes, we're going to take any questions anyone has. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, Dr. Kim, for a powerful show. We're going to open up the lines right now. If there's anyone like to ask Dr. Kim any questions, have any comments, anything like that, the line is open for you right now. We're taking questions and comments at this very second in a few minutes. We're going to hear from Evangelist Aquina to promote her event that's coming up, Dr. Kemp. She's going to call in a second. But if there's anyone that would like to ask questions of Dr. Kemp that's on the line, you have the opportunity right now. God bless you and welcome to the show. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Kemp. Okay, Dr. Kemp, we got people online, but they're just not asking questions. So that's, they said listening. God bless them. God bless you. Thank you for listening. All right, Dr. Kemp, if it's okay, I'd like to bring Evangelist Laquina in before we sign off. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, and then we're going to bring her in so she can make her announcement about her big event coming up.
Amen. God bless you, and God bless Evangelist Laquina. I just want to thank each and every one, and I thank you. I ask and I pray that my presentation was well received and
Amen.
Was a blessing to those who hear it, because although we need to learn so much about the Lord, and that's so important that we learn about the Lord, but there was something taken about from us, and something that brought about our low self-esteem and that who we are. And we need to learn that as a people, and that we're not below anyone. And that's what I try my best to build in each and every one. That's why I study so hard, that I can explain this and just keep it simple, stupid. I'm trying to keep it simple and pray that it's a blessing. But God always get an increase. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Pastor, stand by so you can pray us out. God bless you, Evangelist. I'd like to welcome you to History Talk tonight. The microphone is yours to invite everybody and promote your event coming up on the 24th. Go ahead, Evangelist. God bless you. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. God bless you all. Pastor Kim, it's good to know where we come from and the issue and the problem of what's going on, you know. Teaching the people or what you're teaching them and stuff. Y'all excuse me because silences is acting up on me. But it's not my event. It's God's event. This is a gathering where we'll be having a gospel extravaganza October the 24th in the city of Mobile, Alabama. 1308-366-17. We will just be gathering together from all over the world, exhorting Jesus Christ. God been dealing with me about a lot of different things and what's going on in the land. And God waiting to hear a praise from his people. A praise from his people in spite of what's going on. In spite of the tribulations and turmoil and pandemics and epidemics and all this stuff that's going on, will we still trust him? That's what he's saying. Will you still trust me and take me at my word? For the spirit of heaviness to put on the garment of praise and come together. That's all he said in this hour. That's all he said. And so we will be having a gospel extravaganza with people coming from Tennessee, Ohio, Florida, New Orleans, Montgomery, Alabama, Atlanta, Mississippi, all over just to worship God, just to exalt his holy name. It's a gathering. Phoenix, Alabama, Jackson, Alabama, all over, just to be on one mind, one heartbeat, one accord, one sound, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Evangelist. Thank you for coming on to make that announcement for us, and definitely looking forward to that. And God bless you. Thank you very much. We look forward to tomorrow night. All right, Dr. Kemp, pass it back over to you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Again, I'm happy to hear about that event that Evangelist Aquino have gone, and I pray that it's a success. Eternal Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. We come, Lord, asking, Lord, that it was something said, something done, that draws us closer to you and gave us knowledge, or secular knowledge, but most of all, gave us the knowledge of your holy word. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We ask a blessing upon all those who are doing things for the building of the kingdom of God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that as we go forth, Lord, we pray that the things that I say are transparent, and those who hear what I say do the necessary research to find, always find out if what someone's saying is the truth. We thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I've been a carrier of your word for many years now. And, Lord, I understand, Lord, that times get hard and we go through the ups and downs. But, Lord, keep us steady no matter what happened. Let us continue to praise you. Let us continue to uplift your name. In the good times, the bad times, we're in a pandemic right now, Lord. But, you know, we know you're still with us. When the three Hebrew boys was in the fiery furnace, you was there. When Daniel was in the lion's den, you were there. When the children of Israel was in Egypt, you was there. And when Paul was on the Isle of Patmos, you was there, Lord. So we know you're still with us in this time of this pandemic. Lord, we pray, Lord, that as on the 24th, that this program, this gospel explosion that comes all over the United States, that it be a success and that you be lifted up. For you say, if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you. Let it be you that be lifted up, not any one of us. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask that you bless Reverend William, that he continue to go out and try to save men, women, boys, and girls, and let them know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For that we say thank you. And that the God we serve is a God of love and not hate. He's the Prince of Peace. Lord, now, Lord, as we leave this podcast, we pray we never leave far from your presence. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with the love of God and the sweet communion of your precious Holy Spirit, rest with and abide with us henceforth and forevermore. And we said, amen. And I love everybody, and you can't do nothing about it. Good night.
Amen. Amen. God bless everyone. Have yourself a blessed night. We'll see you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be blessed out there. Good night, everybody. Good night, Dr. Kim. We love you, sir.
Good night, Evangelist.
You've been listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. LaVert Kemp. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. LaVert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.